Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we've got two questions that address the issue of management. I love management. Mm-hmm. But from two very different perspectives. The first question involves a newly hired manager who is realizing her staff is at war with each other.
Ooh.
Not good. And the second question describes a situation where an employee is being micromanaged by someone who is not her boss. In other words, her coworker.
Ooh, so a new manager needs help with unruly employees, and a relatively new employee needs help with a coworker who thinks she's the boss.
Yeah, let's just go to the first question.
I just got hired as a manager of a very prestigious medical practice. It's a step up for me, and I'm very excited for the added responsibility. The only problem is I've inherited a team that is at war with itself. Everyone, from the nurses to the billing department to the front desk, is in some kind of fight or power struggle. How do I begin to manage this situation?
Well, let's see. Where do you start? I like to start with really looking at each person. Just to see if there's a pot stirrer.
Divide and conquer.
The pot stirrer person.
Stirrer, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then, of course, the most obvious thing is that you need to lay out your expectations in terms of not just work product, but also behavior.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So when you say look at each person, I mean, what happens when we're brought into companies is we will often interview each member of a team. Do you think that that's what this person should do?
Well, we do that because we have to cut to the chase very quickly. I think that a new manager really is just sitting in the middle of it and could observe the behavior. And it probably is good to talk to each person, but I would say that each person is probably posturing and trying to, you know, show their best side to the new boss.
Right.
So you're going to have to really watch it. And it shouldn't take long.
To figure out who's the pot stirrer?
Right.
Or well, who's stirrers?
Who's the gossip? Somebody who's definitely, and there may be more than one.
Uh-huh.
But usually there's a bee, a queen bee.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have to be a woman, by the way. It could be a man, too.
Yeah.
But someone who is dissatisfied and makes it bad for everybody else. But it may be different. It may not be it. It also could be that there hasn't been much management prior.
I was going to say, if no one's been held accountable until this person came in, they could be at war with each other because it's sort of survival of the fittest.
Right, because they didn't know any better. So they ended up just, you know, somebody tried to manage and then everybody got pissed off and then another person tried to manage. And nobody can really win in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, should they be meeting regularly with all members of the staff in this kind of situation?
Well, I think they're going to have to. I think the boss has to lay out the expectations. This is you know, your goals. This is what I expect to see. And then this is what I will not stand for in terms of behavior.
Yeah.
And then I think it has to really go through the process of developing a team.
Yes.
All right. So they have to really go through... describe what how a team functions and what they're looking for in terms of a team. And backbiting and everybody behaving poorly is not part of that.
Right.
It's a supportive environment where we all support one another and we have bigger goals than how we feel about each other.
Right.
Those are the goals of the department.
Well, and you can set those goals, right, for the department, for the practice, say what the overall goals are. You could actually engage the staff in helping you formulate them in a really concrete way, right? So everyone's on the same page. And then what you were talking about, you could come up with standards of conduct in a way.
And I think as soon as you see anything going awry with anybody's behavior, you have to call them on it in that moment.
Uh-huh.
And you have to say, I just saw you talking about so-and-so. We're not going to do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
You can do that when you go home, but let's be supportive. I think that they really have to be trained how to behave. because they never were.
So one of the things one would have to define is say, here's the communication that I want here. And this, mm-hmm. We were going to communicate in this office. Mm-hmm. It's going to be professional. It's not going to be personal. We aren't going to gossip. So you sort of lay all those standards out at the onset.
Right.
And then if you catch somebody who is gossiping or who is making a personal attack on someone, you intervene.
Exactly. And then what will happen is somebody that wants to go rogue will just leave.
Yes.
So once you change the climate and you put management in place, it'll be obvious who those are that don't want to play by those rules.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you're really changing the whole culture.
Exactly.
Right. You're changing it from an I culture to a we culture of
Exactly.
sorts.
Right.
And they're usually, what we found when we go and we do consulting, we help someone take on a leadership role. If they really do bring in a new way of behaving, certain people will self-select, mm-hmm. self-eject mm-hmm. even, right? Mm-hmm. They'll
right.
leave.
Well, this is why whenever, let's say there's a new CEO or there's a new, you know, somebody in a higher position and the culture shifts, you will see a lot of resignations because... Yeah. And sometimes there's backbiting where people don't want to leave because maybe they're great perks or maybe it's the work they've always wanted to do. But so that's what will happen. People will go if they don't like the new and improved version of what you're bringing in.
And actually also I will say we have also seen and is consistent once you do lay out the rules of conduct and once you do start meeting with everyone and meeting with the group as a whole, there will be certain individuals who will double their efforts to get it back to the old way.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Right.
So there may be someone who somehow always is absent from the team meeting, for mm-hmm, example, mm-hmm. or someone who they're nodding as you're saying no gossip, and you immediately find them in the ladies' room or the men's room.
Oh, you're just assuming it was a woman there.
And I just put it in the men's room.
I know. I know. I'm glad you caught yourself. Glad you caught yourself.
I'm actually reflecting on my own experience.
I've never been in a men's room. Do men gossip in the men's room?
Gossip, actually.
In the men's room, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Or the locker room, maybe.
Locker room, probably more.
I mean, I see it at the gym, not in the locker room, but just out in the gym. I see, you know, while they're grunting, lifting weights, talking about each other.
Yeah.
And I'm really kind of pleased to see that. I guess it's becoming gender neutral now, gossip. It's right.
Right. So if you catch him or her mm-hmm. gossiping, you can expect, and even if you address it, you can expect that you will continue to be tested. That's the point that I'm trying to make here, is that whenever you lay down new ways of behaving, there will be those who test it.
And let's give them some sort of time frame. I think it takes between 6 months to a year to really turn
Convert
a department
it.
Around. Yeah. So you're not, the first 3 months are going to be a little ugly.
Yes.
It's not going to be a pretty
Picking
picture.
Picking up the remnants from the battlefield.
Yeah, it's not pretty. But, you know, and what will happen is some people will fall in line beautifully because they're grateful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the others won't.
And the other part is that you aren't going to be liked by everyone. So,
right.
So if that's something that matters to you, you're going to have to withstand somehow internally, try to build yourself up so that the exchange now is not to be liked, but it's about being respected and being respectful towards your colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's about the overarching reason why you're there, and that's to do the job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will respect you if you do a good job.
Right. Right. I just find that in management, that's one of the tougher things usually if you're new to management is this notion that you will say or do something that will displease, especially if you're the new person, right? Mm-hmm. You'll say or do something that will alienate someone, that they won't like it. And so there's a tolerance for that you have to develop.
There sure is. Yeah. And I think you can't really be a good manager if you can't be willing to disappoint because you have to make decisions that will not always be popular.
That's mm-hmm. right.
In the short run.
At least one or two people won't like them.
Right. So that's the long answer of what you do when you walk into a situation like this.
Yeah. So, and you may want to get some coaching yourself, don't mm-hmm. you think? This mm-hmm. is the kind of situation where you want at least someone on your team who is not emotionally invested in the outcome and who can maybe help you continue to look at it from a more objective place.
Exactly, yeah. And there's really good books on this, too. I think they're called Working With You Is Killing Me. And
it's a good one.
Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work.
Yeah, New York Times bestsellers.
They're really good books. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back with question number two.
If you like this podcast, you might want Kathy and Catherine to come into your company.
Yes, we can come into your company, give a lecture as a lunch and learn.
Or we can be your next keynote speakers at your conference.
Or we can give a webinar, teleconference, or a live interactive workshop.
Choose from a large number of topics such as dealing with difficult people at work, managing up, the business of setting boundaries, and numerous others. Check out our website for more.
Or just give us a call or send an email. All of our contact information is on our website, ksquaredenterprises.com. All right, Logan, what's our second question?
I have an entry-level job as a social media coordinator at a very busy and fast-growing advertising company. There is a coworker who has been there 2 months longer than I have, and she acts as if she is my boss. She tells me how to do every aspect of my job. She's constantly saying, "This is how I do it." The other day, she asked me to make coffee for a big meeting, and she stood over me and critiqued every step of the way. Can I tell it to bug off, or is it my job to take orders from this person?
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think?
I would certainly want to tell her.
You want to tell her to bug off?
You're not the boss of me. Yeah, this is, well, so Kathy, I'm sure you are going to tell the come up with the perfect statement to make, right, to handle this kind of character.
I find it suspicious. Mm. Like, where does she come from? Well, where's this coming from? Did somebody tell her? Is she the daughter of the owner?
Oh, I know this individual.
Oh, you know her.
I do. When I came into recruiting at the Peace Corps, I had someone exactly like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, she told me everything about my job, what I was supposed to say, and she was a talker, so it was nonstop direction.
That's your least favorite kind of person, isn't it? Or did you just sort of fade in and out?
I did, actually. Yeah. I would fade in and out. I finally went to my boss at one point and said, please just give me some tips for handling this person, because I didn't want to alienate her.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss at the time said, well, you basically have to humor her and,
right,
you know, tell her, admire her, and then find your way to get your own words in.
I think he's 100% right. I don't think that you can burn a bridge with this person. I don't know where they're coming from, like where they got that sense of entitlement to manage the newest person in town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's best not to piss anyone off when you get into any new job.
Right.
So you do probably have a real boss.
Yes.
So you could go to that boss and ask and for clarification. Tell me, you know, is this who I'm supposed to take direction from, or is this person just being helpful?
Yeah.
What's this person's role in my career? And like, get the boss to maybe say something to that person.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this is a rare example because normally we encourage coworkers to work things out between each other. But this is a rare example where you might go to the boss, lay out the situation, and ask for direction.
I didn't say lay out the situation. I think you just go and ask what, you know, who do you take direction from that, you know, are you learning the job from this person?
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe you're just learning the job.
So you ask,
but they were bossy
innocent
about it.
Questions,
exactly.
Quote unquote.
Exactly.
Go in and play dumb. So
right,
am I
going
to be making coffee for the first 6 months?
And exactly the way she makes it.
Right.
Or can I put a little cinnamon in? You know, I think you have to find out because she may be your trainer. That may be the boss may have said, show her the ropes.
Uh-huh.
And instead she's showing you the ropes and the closets and, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, taking
she's
a little too
controlling
far.
Your life.
Right, she's definitely controlling.
This is how I do my hair. This is how I do my makeup.
Exactly.
It's really
oh
annoying.
My goodness.
It is so annoying.
So I just want to say I feel for you. And the other thing is that it can feel from where this person is that they're not being properly respected as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, if they have that kind of power, they may have other powers. Mm-hmm. I don't know who else they're friends with that they'll, you know, you'll start off on the wrong foot.
Mm-hmm. So you actually have to, I think, work hard. And I did have to do this with this individual at the Peace Corps to not take her behavior personally. Like, mm-hmm. I realized that she did it to me. I learned that she did it to many other people before me.
I'm sure you were not the target.
Exactly. And so managing her was part of my job.
That's right.
So we could say to this individual, managing your bossy coworker is part of your job.
Right. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll develop a sense of humor about it and say, yeah, thank you so much. You taught me so well. And, you know, you'll start to enjoy this person, see them for who they are. This is not a long-term sentence.
Yeah.
Because eventually you're going to learn the job and her power is going to be diminished.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
We can hope.
What do you think? She's always going to be on top of you? I mean,
it just can seem like a long period of time if you're in this situation. That's all. So, but I think to your point, not taking it personally, asking some innocent questions regarding who exactly is supposed to be you're reporting to and who should be giving you orders. And then I think the other part about handling it with some humor over time is a good one, too.
You know, whenever you walk into a new job, like any new social situation also, you have to, you know, just be observing before you make any kind of big statements.
I'll tell you, when I think about the individual I dealt with, and I bet it's true with this one, too.
It's probably the same person.
I doubt it, but underneath it all often is a feeling of insecurity.
Absolutely.
And so they have to boss someone else around to feel like they're something, right? So I did, after a while, I would praise her and admire her expertise and her knowledge about things. I mean, I had to do it not too syrupy. Like, it had to be true, which
it had
took
to be
some doing.
Somewhat authentic.
Right.
There had to be some truth to it, which took some digging for me because I was resenting her bossiness, right?
Right.
But when I really looked at it, I could say, okay, you really know about the African countries that we would talk about, you know, and you really have a good sense of the application process that we go through here. And that seemed to help her pull away just a teeny little bit.
She was looking for some respect.
Yes. Right. And acknowledgement.
Right. All right. So that kind of makes sense. And that's why you want to observe for a little bit, because this person is there.
Yeah.
And somebody,
not going anywhere.
Right. And somebody likes them, and you don't know who that person is. And you also don't know whose ear they have. So you have to figure that all out before you start making any kind of declarations.
Yes.
And be humble until you understand the picture.
And once you understand the picture,
then you can smack around whoever you want. But first you have to understand that. I'm kidding. You don't get to smack anyone at work.
That's a lawsuit.
You know, we don't even have coffee here.
Just get rid of the coffee, right?
Nobody makes coffee in the office. I guess they do, but that's crappy coffee. Go out, get your coffee.
Well, that's anyway. The irony, right, is that there are still some very subservient things, tasks that entry-level people usually have to do of one kind or another. And so the bossy one may not want to do it herself. So she likes being hovering over the new employee and telling her what to do.
But she can take the dirty work. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And as the newbie, that may be accurate.
Yeah.
That you're going to take over the dirty work for a bit.
Yeah. Willingness goes a long way, doesn't it?
I think it does. I mean, you know, eventually you'll figure it out.
Right.
I mean, I think we're talking 3 weeks. We're not talking a long time before you really have the lay of the land, and you probably will meet with the real boss.
Right.
And find out what your job is and
does
that entail.
But that's another interesting point. In some cases, and we see this a lot as well, if there isn't a strong manager, then individuals may take charge in their own way, right?
That is true.
So,
yeah, it's true. So you're going to have to figure that out.
See if it's a cultural issue or just a one-off with this very...
lovely person.
Controlling witch. And, she, you know, the truth is you'll probably go a lot further than her. She's going to always be in that position.
That's right.
I've seen that before.
Well, that's right. I was thinking these are also the individuals often who are kind of the martyrs at the workplace, right? That they take on all, they love to take on responsibility or feel as if everything depends on them, and they're very irritating to a lot of people.
Yeah, nobody likes them. And they also don't really go anywhere. They don't really grow in their jobs because they're always, woe is me.
Yeah.
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 So, anyway, lots to figure out for this person.
Okay. So have compassion. Mm-hmm. And join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories and advice about dealing with hard-to-manage teams or very bossy coworkers. Vote for us on Podcast Land and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Most of all, don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.